Hay, who was in another room installing doors with the help of Doc. Reich pushed a shelf plank toward Jack.
Pick up some brackets and put it on that wall.
A gleam of fire showed in the albino's eyes, but he kept calm in the face of provocation and turned to the wall Reich had indicated. Placing the plank against the wall, he took some brackets from the pile in the middle of the room and sufficient screws from a large earthenware jar.
Screwdriver.
Jack spoke as he turned, and it was only his incredible reflexes that saved him. For Reich had decided to pass him the screwdriver by the simple expedient of throwing it at him like a knife. The mute albino saw the sharply pointed instrument speed across the room, and his hunting and survival instincts took over. For Jack, time seemed to slow almost to a halt as the screwdriver hung in midair. Jack's red eyes focused on the screwdriver, and he brought up his left arm, tight to his body and moving at the elbow. The fingers of his left hand opened and splayed like wraiths of white mist. To Reich, it seemed like the screwdriver had vanished from the very air itself as Jack plucked it from its flight. The metal shaft grasped between his second and third fingers, his arm whiplashed downward to dispel the momentum of the flight. Reich couldn't help it. His mouth hung open as he gaped at Jack, displaying the screwdriver to him as he lifted his arm.
Next time, just hand me.
Without waiting to see the workman's reaction, Jack turned his back and began to fit the first bracket. The project was completed after 2.5 days. Crow had instructed the sec man, Petey, to oversee Christy and Mildred in order to keep some distance between the women and the workmen. In addition, he had set them to work on the tidying and clearing of the work sites, which mostly entailed the areas free of the other workers. It had been done without comment, but all the companions could see that the Native American was as good as his word. As each group finished its tasks, Mildred and Christy would move in and clear up the mess. By late afternoon, the workmen were bathing and relaxing, while the women put the final touches to the clearing-up process.
To think that women used to protest against this when I was a kid.
Maybe we should start again.
But eventually they finished and joined their companions. Crow came over to the group, which had stayed separate from the workforce.
This is good. We're way ahead of schedule, and the bonuses will be good. I've sent to Salvation, and Baron Silas will be sending Wags for us tomorrow. He's interested in meeting you.
Ryan and JB exchanged glances.
So you've been in contact with Salvation?
Crow allowed himself a smile around the eyes, even if the rest of his face stayed impassive.
One of the things Baron Silas has traded with his collaborators is a series of pre-dark two-way radios. They're erratic, like all his machinery right now, but they keep him in touch with all his work parties. And you don't really think I'd tell you that I had one, did you?
Guess you're too smart. So we get to see Salvation tomorrow.
But first, you've got a possible problem. The boys will want an end-of-work party. We have some brew, and I know for a fact that some of them have jolted, even though they're not supposed to. But they worked hard, so it's their concern. And yours. There are scores to settle, and I can't guarantee your safety.
Then give us back our blasters.
I can't do that. But I'll be around, and I'll make sure that the sec keep on their guard. Just watch your backs is all.
Before any of the companions could answer, the giant turned and walked away. The workmen waited until the sun had fallen before they started the party. The companions left the shelter and set a fire some distance away, figuring that the best course of action would be to give the workmen a wide berth until they had drunk and jolted themselves insensible. After a couple of hours, the light from the lamps within the workers' shelter was suddenly spread across the desert dust as the sheeting was cast aside.
Hey, motherfuckers! You gonna come and join us, or just be plain unfriendly?
An ironic statement from this gentleman, I think.
Hal apparently didn't hear, Doc.
You gonna let those lovely ladies come and give us a little pussy to celebrate? Malloy here, he's hung like a muty horse, and he'll make him scream.
I wish I had a blaster.
Leave it.
But the companions weren't allowed to leave it. The light spread farther as the sheeting was parted, broken by the shadows of the workmen as they spilled out into the desert toward them.
Trouble.
The companions rose to greet the potential fight and weren't to be disappointed. Although the workmen seemed relaxed as they approached, they were clutching bottles. Ryan tensed and knew that as he did, so did all of his people. The deceptively friendly approach was broken when the parties were only yards apart, as the workmen suddenly sprung into action. There were more of them than there were of the companions, and that was crucial. While the five men took to an opponent one-on-one, the two women found themselves fighting three workmen. Raish and Malloy closed in on Mildred and Christie, and Anderson slipped behind them, forcing them to circle and keep part of their attention behind. So it was that Raish was able to catch Mildred a glancing blow on the temple and stun her. Christie whipped her head around at the sound of Mildred's groan, and in that crucial fraction of a second, found herself fall victim to the same tactic. Raish and Malloy slung a woman each over their shoulders and headed into the dark, with Anderson covering their backs. Ryan saw their direction as he dealt with Hay, a short-arm blow finally disabling the armed worker. Hal whistled, and Ryan's fighters found themselves wrong-footed by the sudden retreat of those they were fighting.
Lily?
Dean's eyes picked out the other workmen disappearing around the corner of the new building.
They took them around the back of the extension!
Without a word, the companions took off after their opponents. Doc lagged somewhat behind, and by the time he had gained the extension, he found the others had searched all the rooms.
They're not here. They must have doubled back to the shelter.
No. Trail lead away.
In the dark night, it would seem almost impossible that anyone could pick up a trail, but Jack's finely honed hunting sense had led him to the scent. They followed him as he set off toward the collection of wagons and trailers that contained the construction tools. As they approached, they could hear the sounds of fighting. Rounding the largest wagon, they saw Mildred and Christie, both still fuzzy but revived by the adrenaline rush of danger, standing back to back. The two women were holding the workers at bay, but it was a losing battle. That was until the cavalry arrived. The battle was short, swift, and bloody. Ryan and JB were experienced hand-to-hand fighters, and Jack was a white blur of fists and feet. Dean and Doc, although less experienced, had learned from their companions, and the drugged and drunk workmen offered little resistance when taken by surprise. In a few seconds, the workers were floored, unconscious, and battered into submission by the anger and skill of the companions.
Good.
Ryan whirled to find Crow standing watching, with the three sec men behind him.
You were watching all this?
Crow nodded silently.
Then why did you let us take them alone?
If you'd had trouble, then I would have stepped in. But the fact is, I wanted to see how you'd manage.
Why?
Because Baron Silas asked me to assess you.
So he could use us if we won? Fireblast, I should chill you where you stand.
You won't, because you're not armed and we are. And because you're curious. Sure, it'll benefit Baron Silas. But maybe you'll just get something out of it, too.
Ryan paused, breathing hard and letting his temper settle.
Yeah. But don't push us too far.
With which he turned on his heel and joined his companions in attending to Christie and Mildred, who were still dazed from the initial assault. The Native American watched him leave.
I wonder how far too far is.
Ryan and his companions had little idea what to expect when the morning came. They had made themselves a camp some distance from the main body of the workforce, and had mounted a watch through the remains of the night, in case the workers decided to exact revenge. But whether it was a matter of the beaten workers unwilling to continue the fight, or whether it was the efforts of the sec men to keep them apart and Crow keeping his word, there was no further sign of trouble. When the sun was low in the sky, but already throwing down oppressive heat, the companions were fully ready to face the rigors of the day ahead. Mildred cast a glance at the activity among the workers as they rose and prepared to leave.
This should be interesting.
One way of saying it. Think we can trust them, Ryan?
We have to, for now.
The one-eyed man was about to speak further when he saw the giant Native American crossing the sand toward them.
Well, let's see what he has to say.
I would say good morning, but that may seem inappropriate. The wag to take us back to Salvation will be arriving in about an hour. It'll also have drivers for the supply wags.
Doc raised an eyebrow.
You do not trust your workers?
Would you? Aaron Silas certainly doesn't. Most of these lowlifes would steal from themselves if they had half the chance. So we make sure we only use workers who can't drive.
Anyone can drive.
You wouldn't say that if you'd seen one of these sons of bitches try and steal a wag on the first night we were here. That would change your views. But I didn't come to you to discuss this. Come and eat. Take water before we leave. It's a long, hot journey back.
Christie glanced over to the camp, her hair curling gently at the ends around her neck.
It'll be longer if we have to see them before the wag gets here.
There'll be no need for concern. These boys know what'll happen if they get stoop about this. They don't want to get chilled before they get their jack. Maybe they'll get chilled after, when they get into a firefight over some gaudy slot. But that ain't my problem, or yours.
Christy and Mildred looked at Ryan. He returned their gaze evenly and noted from the corner of his eye that Dean, Jack, Doc, and JB were also watching him intently. As leader of the